Hello, it's Michigan Week here on the Campus Chimes, and so we'll be devoting our entire show today to the big matchup with the Wolverines. Here to talk through it and every angle about it in the entire footballing picture in the college scene is Jeff Hammersley. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, Grant. It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's merely jump week. It's actually today since it's Tuesday on our taping, but yeah, it is the greatest rivalry of any sport, Ohio State, Michigan, and it's coming back to Columbus this year.
Yeah, it is. My name is Grant Miller. I'm your host with the Riley voice, trying to make sure I don't get sick for the upcoming holidays and for the game on Saturday. But yeah, as we said, it is the big game, the one we've been waiting for all this year. Ohio State coming in at the mark of 10-1. They are unbeaten in the Big Ten, and they have already clinched the division championship, which means no matter how things go on Saturday, they will be going to Indianapolis on December 6th to face the winner of the West Division. We can talk a little bit about that later on. But really, they, like last year, they still have to win this game if they're going to have a shot at the national title picture and into the playoffs. And once again, like last year, it's a highly favored Ohio State team coming into a game, a rivalry game, the rivalry game for them in Michigan. And if we learned anything from a year ago, is that we can't take the Buckeyes can't take the Wolverines lightly.
Especially, I think the Buckeyes are opening up with huge favorites. I don't know what the line is right now, but I know they're favored. And last year, I thought that they were favored by roughly 2 to 3 touchdowns. I thought they were going to win by like 4 touchdowns. And it came down to a game-sealing interception on a 2-point conversion from, I believe, Tyvis Powell. So with that being said, you're right, Grant. You can't overlook rivalry games. I think if you're Ohio State, Michigan, or if you're in the Iron Bowl for Auburn, Bama, or even Egg Bowl for Mississippi State and Ole Miss, no matter what the lines are, every game is going to be close.
Yeah, it's looking about 3 touchdowns as a line for the moment.
Really?
20 and a half and 21 are the ones I'm seeing. But
I wouldn't take that at all.
No, I think last year showed, you know, I was one of those people like you. I thought they were going to blow them out because it is a rivalry game, but at the same time, I thought because it is Michigan and there is so much emphasis placed on that game around this campus and in that football program, there was no conceivable way they were going to, not in a sense look past it, but just not take it as seriously. And not that I don't think they did, they just
Michigan came out firing.
Their skin. They had that play they ran about 1,000 times.
Bubble screens are all they ran.
And the misdirection. Yeah. And the misdirection. And it almost paid off for him. I remember when Brady Hoke went for that 2-point conversion at the very end, I remember sitting there watching with my dad, and he was just like, what a great call. What do you have? If you're Michigan, what do you have to lose? I mean, it was a great call.
Yeah. I mean, especially Gardner's got a broken foot. You know, just get him off the field as soon as possible, whether it's a win or a loss at that point. But, hey, let's go for 2 points.
Yeah.
We will win it or lose it right here.
And we were speaking from the pure emotional standpoint. Michigan came into that game with, in a sense, nothing to lose other than their rivalry game, which is big. But no one really expected them to win. They could wreck Ohio State's season if they did it.
I mean,
and the Buckeyes had to win. That's all they had to do, but they almost didn't.
That in itself for Michigan was, well, even though we're not going to a title game, we can prevent Ohio State from winning one, or at least having the opportunity to have a chance to win one. And last season, Michigan, if they won, okay, they seven and eight win team. They lose it, they're still gonna be in like a, it's not a bowl game that Michigan's used to going to, like a New Year's game, but still for them, they threw everything they had down against Ohio State, and I expect the same kind of stuff this year. They're playing for bowl eligibility right now. If they don't win this week, they're not gonna go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I mean, to them, this is, in essence, going to be their national championship. Can you ruin Ohio State's national championship's dreams?
As happened so many times in this rivalry in the 90s, just the other night on BTN, they had that big team about the 96 season. Ohio State, who did lose the Wolverines, but eventually did come back and get that Rose Bowl victory against Arizona State. But, yeah, I mean, it just comes down to it's the game, and it's always going to mean a heck of a lot for both teams. And as you said, Michigan are playing for something completely different to Ohio State. But I guess with the Buckeyes turning, we should mention this past week's game. They did come back and beat Indiana 42-27. Indiana, a team who has beaten a team that will probably be in the SEC championship game.
In Missouri.
So it's just strange. I was talking to people after the game. How much do you feel if you're an Indiana fan? You beat Missouri, you've laid a goose egg the entire Big Ten season, and then you come into Ohio State and you play that well, you know, it boggles the mind.
Welcome to college football, where the rules are made up and nothing really matters. It's every week at who's the best team on that field for 60, actually not even 60 minutes. Look at Florida State, for example. They look hideous for 55 minutes, and then in the final 5 minutes they show up to play and they win games. But I mean,
or two look, hideous teams in this case over 60 minutes in the case of Virginia Tech and Wake Forest.
But look at Ohio State, Virginia Tech. If you played the Ohio State Virginia Tech game 10 times, the Buckeyes won about 9 times.
They just lost to Wake Forest.
Was it 0-0 or 3-3 at the end of regulation?
It was 0-0.
0-0, 6-3 final.
Great shot of Frank Beamer like basically celebrating with the final score
at 0-0.
At 0-0.
I mean, Frank Beamer, who knows how much longer he has there? I mean,
and it was. This season's been so strange.
Yeah.
We walked out of Ohio Stadium on September 6th after Virginia Tech won there, and James Gregor, our assistant sports editor, said to me, Virginia Tech are back. That's a huge win for their program. And I
would have agreed.
He was not saying anything that no one wasn't thinking.
Michael Brewer's like, he could be the real deal there. And then after that game, lost to East Carolina, then they just start losing to Georgia Tech. They start losing to everybody.
Because obviously Virginia Tech is, Frank Beamer's had a lot of success. A team that I think of, I think in my mind, I think they're bigger than they are because of the players they had back when we were 10.
Michael Vick. But at the same time, though, I mean, Vatek has always been a team that's been a top 25 kind of caliber program. They've always made a run for a BCS bowl game. They were always in the Orange Bowl picture, Sugar Bowl picture. They went to one title game in, I believe, 2000 against Florida State or somebody. I think it was Florida State. But they lost that game. And they've always been there. And it's weird because in that same time frame, that Michigan and Virginia Tech, they were in the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago. And Michigan won that game. That was, I think, Hoke's 11-2 season. Now both these teams are going to be lucky to be going to being the number 5 or 6 selection in their conference for a bowl game, let alone being bowl eligible. They have to win their games from here on out to at least be in consideration or at least have decent consideration and be taken seriously.
Yeah, and It's something that the Buckeyes obviously have struggled with, the fact that they had this loss on their calendar or on their schedule, and I was double-checking, you were right, they did lose to Florida State, and then, yeah, that I remember that game, the 2012 Sugar Bowl win, or loss to Michigan for Virginia Tech, and it's interesting that both, they had that great game a few years back, and now look at them.
Check me on the 2000 title game. Was the Florida State quarterback Autzen, or was it Winky? I get confused. Was it Autzen? I'm gonna go with Autzen. It should be Autzen versus Vic.
I will tell you. I will tell you who the game's MVP was.
Peter Warrick,
Cincinnati Bengal legend. Peter Warrick.
He also played for Seattle for a little bit toward the end of his career.
Well, he was drafted by the Bengals, as I love to point out. Not that the Browns have had any great draft picks recently. I don't know what the quarterback was. Quarterback Michael Vick. No, I'm just kidding. Oh yeah, it was.
Winky.
It was Winky.
That was his Heisman year then.
Yeah, he was. 27 years old.
Winky?
Because he played baseball. He pulled a Brandon Whedon, if you will.
Is Brandon Whedon still with Cleveland? Grant Miller?
He's not, and look how good the Browns are.
Well, he was on a Monday Night Football with
that's
Dallas.
A discussion. And then he lost to Colt McCoy. So
who was also with the Browns and also took Texas to a national championship.
And that day was actually also Brady Quinn's birthday, so we could go on. but meanwhile, back to college football, back to the Buckeyes. I heard today a lot of people talking about, did Ohio State control that game against Indiana? And they didn't for large portions, but, you know, Indiana is a better team, you would like to say, than their record does show. But in the end, Ohio State is going to have another very solid game to play. Obviously not the Michigan game, but whoever they do face in the Big Ten Championship. And I guess we can maybe go into a little bit of that West Division as your phone continually rings off the hook.
I'm an important person, man.
That West Division, which has turned out to be a lot of fun.
It's the Paul Bunyan's axe is guarded, decided
which
who
is
goes.
Which is great. Yeah.
Well, but for Minnesota, they got so much hardware. They beat Michigan, Little Brown Jug. Who else did they play? Did they beat Penn State? Because they used to do the Governor's Victory Bell with Penn State, but they didn't play them, and that's a moot point.
Right, but it is crazy because, so Wisconsin and Minnesota face off this week, I believe, at Camp Randall.
Yes, it is. It's in Madison.
Okay, and Wisconsin at 6-1 in the conference, and whereas Minnesota are at 5-2. So the winner would have the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And that's why Minnesota, even though they're a game behind, would still go to the game. And I think that's what the Big Ten really needs is a great game to go opposite Ohio State, because for so long it kind of seemed like, oh, well, kind of be a foregone conclusion. Whoever wins that Michigan State-Ohio State matchup from earlier in the season, they're going to go to the Big Ten championship game. But now you have just what's going to be an incredibly exciting game in Madison. And thank goodness for people like you and me who will be at the Shoe on Saturday, that game's at 3:30. So get to watch that.
Yes.
Think they would do that, because they're not going to put it opposite of Ohio State Michigan, because there is so
ratings,
much at stake.
Yeah, the ratings draw also from that perspective.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a wonderful game. I know that rivalry more through the hockey, but obviously it extends to a lot of different other phases. Mm-hmm. But then it comes down to, who does Ohio State want to play more? And I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you can have two arguments. You can say, I'd like to play Minnesota again, because I just saw what Tevin Coleman did to don't sell me short on Minnesota, but Ohio State beat them and controlled the game for the most part in terrible conditions at Minnesota. What do you think they're going to do in a dome?
See, I'm weary of grudge matches. I don't like to play a team a second time, because Minnesota knows exactly what they're doing wrong. They know exactly what the Buckeyes are doing right.
Right,
that's
but
the thing.
If you're the Buckeyes, you still could say you could have played a lot better.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially with the conditions. And the whole Jalen Marshall thing, which, I mean, I can't believe people really thought that was... I mean, you're going to get your bozos on Twitter. A lot of the talk after the game on Saturday was, oh, Jalen, what do you think these people were saying to your stuff? And he said, well, he used it, and that's great, but I don't think anyone who actually had a real opinion was really blaming him for stuff. Who could have played football in those conditions?
I mean, I think the issue was you had fumbles, you had the interceptions. Minnesota was hanging in that game. I think a lot of Buckeye fans were like, well, we're in the championship hunt. This hurt our chances. It's that kind of mentality. It's the same kind of people who left the game early against Virginia Tech. So it's those same people.
Yeah. It's the same kind of people who apparently, once that Virginia Tech game ended in the student section, one of my buddies was trying to tell people that, oh, maybe we just weren't that good at the moment. Someone wanted to, quote, fight him because – he had that opinion. There is sector of the Ohio State fandom.
This the fandom
that likes to rear its head at points.
The fandom can be really. I saw this on the internet. This
okay.
This fandom
fact.
On Reddit, college football's
oh,
Reddit
fact.
Page. The thing is, this fan base can be really weird sometimes, especially when losses happen. Everybody starts turning on everybody.
Right. Like, and I think I'd agree a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, and maybe it's just a symptom of sports today. I'm really not sure. Again, we could have a whole other discussion about the Browns fans who want to bench Brian Hoyer, even though they're 7-4. People I work with,
put Johnny Football in.
Yeah, exactly, those kind of people.
Call Brandon Wheaton back up, put him back in.
That sounds smarter than putting Johnny Football in. But so that is the dilemma for me: is if you're an Ohio State fan, do you want to face Melvin Gordon? And because you see what Coleman did to Ohio State, and they've. Not just on the ground, but in the air, they had those problems earlier in the season. They remember Cincinnati, which was for the most part a pretty simple win. They gave up those big plays that made it really difficult, even into the second half. They've always been a team who, for whatever reason, can give up the big play on defense. And Melvin Gordon, whatever you're going to give him up to, he's going to make you pay.
Yeah, and well, look at Melvin Gordon's numbers. I mean, he had a record-setting day 2 weeks ago. Minnesota week, but then Oklahoma's running back beat it the following week.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of – for the Buckeyes, it's pick your poison. I mean, if you play Minnesota, you play the team again. You have to play Cobb again. And if you play Wisconsin, you take on Melvin Gordon. And you know exactly what Wisconsin's offense will do, and that will be get the ball to Melvin Gordon, who'll run right up the middle and get 3 yards on you. And I think that's what the Buckeyes have to be weary of. But the bigger things at stake this week is you have to beat Michigan. You can't look ahead for the Big Ten title game. If you do and you choke to Michigan, you're now playing to get into one of those New Year's Six games, not even the playoff picture at that point.
Right.
But still, I mean, I think this is the same issue they had last year. Michigan State's there. The Buckeyes are creeping up in their standings. They need a little bit of help. And you saw Michigan stay in the game for most of the last season's contest in Ann Arbor.
But will both, again, the Michigan game and then the Big Ten Championship game, will Ohio State learn its lesson? Because for whatever you want to say, if last year was tough, you know, barely beating Michigan and then losing to Michigan State, you would like to think that this year's team, even though, of course, there are a lot of young guys who are contributing, but quite a few of them are redshirts, so they still were technically around last year. You would like to think that they realize what they did wrong last year, and they know which way they can, what they can do to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think the most humbling thing that, that this team could have had was to actually, for the guys who are returning, was having that stretch. Actually, this the four-game stretch where the Buckeyes dropped three games. You had the Big Ten title game, the Orange Bowl, then Va Tech. You, after 2 years, if you were a junior or senior, all you've known is winning here, and now you're losing, and that's the motivator. I think you, it's like, I see it, it's like marginal. It's the opposite of marginal loss aversion. You get wins, it's like, oh, okay, we should be winning. You become, you almost think you're guaranteed wins at some point. Then you start losing games, then it hits you like a ton of bricks. Then you lose again, it's worse. But then you just go, look, well, how do we get better if I move on from this? And I think the team's seen that, especially with JT Barrett. He's only had really one bad game. That was against Virginia Tech. I mean, Penn State, decent numbers. I mean, he got pick six, but still, Buckeyes were up, what, 17-0 in the first half of that game. And I think for Barrett right now, the best thing he could have going is getting, is having a great season. Because if you go into Michigan week thinking, I'm sort of shaky at quarterback, the nerves are going to get to you. Because this is not another game. This is the game. This is what defines quarterbacks here. This is what defines coaching careers at Ohio State. John Cooper is a Hall of Fame coach. In Columbus, he's
a Hall of Fame recruiter.
Yeah, he's known for a 2-10-1 record against Michigan. That's the big thing. That's the one takeaway from Cooper was he couldn't beat Michigan, even though he had a Sugar Bowl year with Jermaine. Stanley Jackson and Jermaine had their one, the Rose Bowl appearance, the David Boston touchdown. That he had three or four number one ranked Ohio State teams in the 90s until they played Michigan.
Right, they fell short.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And, you did mention David Cobb, who Jerry Kill actually just said today is very questionable. Those are his words for Saturday. So that's
not
good.
Yeah,
really,
now it got really interesting. If he's not going to play 100%.
And with Barrett, yeah, there is a step up when it comes to Ohio State, Michigan, because it is different. But I think you'd have to say that throughout the season, every time there has been a step up, he has taken the call.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you saw
Michigan
Navy,
State.
Against Navy, it was like the first game, pretty limited, but looked good. He made some good throws. And then obviously Virginia Tech, he was basically getting hounded every time the ball snapped, made a really few poor decisions. And then when the thing got going, Kent State, and then every Big Ten game, he just seemed to grow and grow. And I think that we mentioned this on an earlier episode that a lot of people were like, against Michigan State, wow, look at this kid. Like, look what he can do. But if you were watching Ohio State all season, that wasn't a shock.
No.
Because, and again, you know, not every team's the same, but if the progression was going to be correct, he was looking that good every single week.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be perfect. He's going to sail a throw like he did on Saturday. One of them was kind of unlucky. Went off Evan Spencer's hands.
That one really is not his fault.
So
let's be honest.
It's going to happen. It's his first year playing college football, for God's sake. And he's doing this. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, for him to come in here as a redshirt freshman and just start taking no names, basically. I don't know of any other redshirt freshman that's done this kind of this roll in, just take house, especially at a program like Ohio State where the pressure is always on. Troy Smith, his first year when he was a true star with him and Justin Zwick, they lost to Texas. They lost to like Penn State. They've lost a couple big games. Barrett comes in. Bot Tech, he wasn't great, but he wasn't horrific. He's never been horrific here. And with the Michigan State game, that was his one coming out party, basically. He was a superstar, and really, from there on out, take him seriously for the Heisman contender.
Yeah, oh yeah, and although this week his odds have kind of dropped, he's not even listed on the odds.
He's off, yeah.
With Mariota and Gordon, but they're going to bring more than two guys in the ceremony,
right.
And he's going
to
be one of them.
If he's not going to New York, then I gotta think there is some conspiracy to keep Barrett out.
Conspiracy theories this week on the
campus.
I got
my tinfoil hat on, but still, for JT, what he's done. I mean, beginning of the season, Urban Meyer even said, if there's no quarterback controversy, Braxton Miller will be our quarterback next year. Now it's, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
More than likely, Barrett
reports,
may get it.
And the reports that Braxton doesn't want to come back, which makes things even more interesting, because that's not what I saw.
I saw something on Twitter that said
LeBron's coming back.
No.
Oh, wait, he already did.
No, Braxton was at the Cavs game on Saturday in Cleveland.
Oh.
I saw a picture of him
a doctored photo.
I don't know, but
Same fact? People who said that they're taking the M off the stadium.
They are taking the M off the stadium.
That is a lie. Also, the people who follow JT Barrett on Twitter.
That's not JT Barrett.
No, crap, it's not. But people, it still has 17,000 followers.
He doesn't have that Twitter verified account like Braxton does.
Yeah, Braxton, we all know he loves to tweet. But, yeah, with Barrett, if you would have asked me 4 months ago,
three losses, Vodtech, Penn State, Michigan State. We're going to either the Outback Bowl and maybe, if we're lucky, Citrus Bowl. The Citrus Bowl would have been the ceiling. Outback Bowl would have been more likely. Now it's we should be in the one of the New Year's six games.
Yeah.
No, whether it's playoff
it's
or not.
It's crazy because, 3 months ago, right when Braxton got hurt, the week before that, the Navy game, if you would have told me that he would have done what he has done, I would tell you no.
No, same here. I would have said that's not possible.
Yeah. So you got to give big ups to them. But I guess also turning to defense, who also week by week have been getting better. Their defense, especially in the backfield, seems to be a bit opportunistic. A lot of different stuff going on with Noah Spence this week. Apparently he does actually have an appeal. So we'll wait and see if somehow he does play, because that kind of came out of nowhere. Saturday after the game.
I thought it was a rumor on last week that Noah Spence has a meeting. I'm like, who's making this
stuff
up?
And then all of a sudden
this
Saturday,
isn't funny anymore.
Then all of a sudden on Saturday in the post-game press conference, one of the beat reporters, a very reputable one, asked the question of Urban. And then I was kind of like, oh, gosh, well, something must be going on. And then Urban kind of gave very much a non-answer. But if Spence can come back, then, I don't know what kind of football shape he's in. I would assume he'd still be keeping his form. But if he can come back.
Oh man, that
it changes a lot.
Yeah, it's one more spectacular defensive person you have on the team.
Because Bose has been a little bit quieter the past few weeks. I mean, well, he had a big game against Minnesota.
They're
but
doubling up, and yeah. I think the defense. Here's the issue with that front line: if you're 4-on-4 or 5-on-5, and you double team somebody, either Mike Bennett's getting through, Adolphus Washington's getting through. If you take out Joe, you take out Bennett. It's Bosa and Washington getting through. You can't stop that D line. Someone's getting through on almost every single play if you double team. So with that going for them, you bring Noah Spence into that equation. He starts blitzing now. What's an O line supposed to do? Nothing. That's exactly what they're going to end up doing.
If he could stop the run, that'd be nice. If they have to face Melvin Gordon, or if David Cobb is fit and going by the time of the Big Ten championship, but. As we said, there is another game left to play in this regular season, or as Michael Bennett said, their regular season's over now. This is the postseason. This is when it matters the most. You have to get these wins. So I guess just to end on, Jeff, do you think they will get the victory on Saturday?
I'm broadcasting the game, but either way, I think it will be close, but I think the Buckeyes will walk out with the victory.
I agree. It's again, I'm actually kind of saying that it might be a little bit bad, 2010-esque. Potentially, but
what's the weather forecast for Saturday? Then?
Weather forecast is probably pretty cold. I will bring it up here. It was strange on Saturday, with it being a noon game. People were walking out at 9 o'clock from their houses, and Columbus had been completely covered with ice. Pretty treacherous, honestly, and chilly. By the time the game ended, it was a beautiful sunset. Even though it was 4 o'clock, it was a beautiful sunset. It warmed up a lot, so. Interesting to see what it's going to be this week, and survey does say, after we go through a few days, Saturday, 50, high of 50, cloudy in the morning, then off and on rain showers during the afternoon hours, so it could be kind of messy, but
I happen to be in the press box at that time.
Yeah, I was going to say, both of us happen to be in the press box, and you can listen to Jeff and the boys at OhioStateSports.net, and then you can follow along on Twitter with me, James Greger, which is at James Greger, at Tim L. Moody, Tim, our sports editor, and at Lantern Sports. We'll be tweeting from that as well, and we'll have that quick recap up right after the game, then probably a few features as well during the evening, and also check out all of our information, all of our news and stories this week on thelantern.com. I wrote a two-part piece on the history of William Nosker, who has his name on an OSU dorm that's coming down here soon, but he was actually an OSU football player who died in World War II and was identified only by his Big Ten championship rings, so I really got to talk to the man who found him, so just a really cool story. I really appreciate you, if anyone check it out. But Jeff, thanks for coming on again this week, and we'll hopefully eat a lot next few days, and back and talk next week after that game in the shoe.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again here on the Campus Chimes, Grant.
problem.